So we're back with another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about something that's actually been bugging me for the past couple months, which is whether to go deep in your business with one thing and just be the best at that one thing, or to diversify and be on many different platforms.
So it's so funny that we decided on this morning because I actually had this thought to myself 2 days ago.
Really?
Yes.
How so?
I was regretting diversifying.
I've been thinking about, I have several things that are going well, but I feel like if I put all my efforts into one thing, maybe I could just make that one thing go amazingly well.
Yeah. So, as I've talked about before, I do email marketing for a e-commerce store. And this person started out as a content creator. And when they first got started, they wrote about a lot of different things. Like, they were primarily homeschooling, but they did like recipes and stuff like that. And we're in the middle of this SEO audit for her site using the 180 marketing team. Mm-hmm. We'll give them a little shout out. Yesterday we went through some of the deleted posts that she had deleted when she did a site audit, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, but some of them are dead links now. So they were talking about doing some redirects. So it was interesting because I saw this big spreadsheet of posts that used to be on her site that aren't on her site anymore. And they're all like not related to what she does now, which is basically homeschool and Bible curriculum. And she basically went through and literally just axed all this content, right? And I remember some of these posts because I've read her blog for a long time. And it was good stuff. It wasn't like she was axing bad content. And some of it still got traffic. But she was like, this does not relate to what I sell or what I do anymore. So I don't want to be focused on it. And I don't want people to find me for that because it's not relevant anymore. I'm not going to give you another recipe, which I understand that she's not. She's not a recipe person. But when I admired her sort of dedication to like not to being willing to just chop stuff off that wasn't relative, because I can't do that. Like, I'm like, well, I'm going to hold on to that for a little bit because I don't know what that could lead to. And maybe I can turn something into it. But then all it does is just take your focus away from what actually makes you the money.
I think I'm in your camp more so than Kim's, although I don't have problems axing stuff either.
Yeah, I have problem axing because I'm just like, oh, but maybe I'll want to do something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I've axed a few things, but I mean, axing swiftly is my problem, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I can eventually get there, but it's going to take me 5 years. It's basically not doing it at that point.
Well, yeah, so here's what I was thinking. Like, my YouTube channel is doing well right now, and I'm definitely not going to axe the blog, but should I be doing social more in depth, or are they all related? Should I be doing some of the other projects that I'm doing? I definitely can't take on anything more.
Even though you just talked about working more? Right before we started to record.
At some point, you have to make a decision where if you're not doing things well, you either axe them or you put more effort into them, right?
Right. And I had the opposite conflict yesterday or the day before because I have this, I started working on these note cards. So every day, it's sort of, you know, that one thing book. I'm not putting one thing on the card, but I'm putting like one thing from each of my like different things that I work on. But I realized that's a lot of things when I start putting one thing for each of the things I work on. And it got really overwhelming really quickly. And I was like, I like working on all the things that I work on. I find them all enjoyable and fun. And I think I'm pretty good at them. But the switching back and forth is causing me to just, it takes more time. You know, that whole context with switching thing is real.
Yeah. I mean, it totally is. And for me, at least... So now, like, Bumblebee is going through this transition period. So Bumblebee Linens is my e-commerce store, in case you guys listening don't know. And we're hiring now. We're starting a TikTok channel for that. And then, but it's something that my wife has no interest in. I mean, the hiring, obviously, but, like, the growing aspect, the social stuff, she's not interested in that. So I've kind of taken that on because my goal is to make that business a little bit more automated. And in order to do so, we're kind of stuck in this tweener phase where, you know, if we make a little bit more money, then we can hire more people to take more of the load off. Actually, we've been in this tweener phase for a while.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I feel like I've lost the last 2 years of my life, you know,
yeah,
because of COVID. So I'm hoping that this is going to do it.
Yeah.
But again, it's another thing on my plate.
Yeah. Well, and so that, okay, there's so much to talk about here, but I think that's one of your problems actually, is that, so you want to start a TikTok, right, for Bumblebee, which I think is a great idea, because I think here's the nice thing about everything that you do is it all sort of wraps into itself. Because if you do something for Bumblebee, you can always write about it on My Wife Quit Her Job and talk about it on the other podcast or this podcast. Like, everything you do sort of works into itself, right?
Right.
So it's not like...
It's not throwaway work, even if it...
Right, yeah. Right. The problem is that you want everything to be automated.
Yes.
And the stuff that you're getting into now is just not... You can automate some of it, but if you really want it to work, you can't automate it.
That's correct, but you can have a system in place so that it's smooth. So, for example, YouTube videos now. Yeah. I can pump those out in 20 minutes.
Yep.
So I have this system where I don't actually mind it. Right now, for me, TikTok does not have that system, because I tried having a system where I literally would just regurgitate something that I'd already done. That just doesn't work. I actually have to write a script in order to make it tight, compact, and watchable.
Yeah, I think that's part of your problem.
That takes time.
I think the other thing with something like TikTok is that you have to kind of like YouTube is a search engine. So it's easily systematized, right? There's a formula. You test out certain things like titles or thumbnails, things like that. But like overall, you do the things that work and it works. But I think with something like TikTok, it's changing so rapidly that you have to continue to be adapting and modifying what you're doing to make yourself relevant on that platform.
You know, I think it's interesting that you say that, but the people that I follow,
mm-hmm.
they don't do any trends. They get hundreds of thousands of views per video, and they're just talking about interesting stuff. Like, you can be a talking head and still be successful on TikTok.
I think you can, but yeah. I think there's something about understanding like what's going on in that platform that will
Oh, definitely,
help you.
For sure. In fact, like right after this, I have a podcast interview with Miss Excel.
Okay.
You've heard of her, right?
I don't think I have, actually.
Oh, she's the one who blew up on TikTok teaching Excel.
Oh, I thought she was the one that put all her dates in Excel.
No.
She had a whole formula for ranking them. It was actually quite fascinating. She was very good with spreadsheets.
No, she teaches Microsoft Excel. But she's got millions of followers, and she made like $100,000 a day selling courses through TikTok.
I want to take her course.
Her Excel course?
Yeah.
Actually, so, you should watch her TikToks. Like, she's like dancing, and they're entertaining Excel lessons, let's just say.
Yeah, I just want to learn how to do formulas.
So, by the way, I just interviewed this other guy on my other podcast, Kyle Yen. He runs... got the name, but we're signing our kids up for it. It's like entertaining SAT prep. He hires Broadway singers, and they make the whole
yes.
education thing very interesting.
You told me about him before.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is, it's like that's the type of content that if you can get it right, which is really difficult, it works really well.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go back.
Yeah.
Going deep versus diversifying. Looking back, if I had to redo my life, I would have gone deep, because I look at some people who did that, and they just have done really, really well for themselves because they've just laser focused on one thing. And they've
created all. Who are you thinking about in particular?
So I think of someone like Erin Chase.
Okay.
Right, who just went all in on groceries, and she actually tried to diversify a little bit, and I don't think she saw the same level of success. And not to say that she failed at anything, I don't think that's it at all, but like, she really focused when she honed in on like, okay, I'm going to do a grocery budget class. I'm going to do a freezer class. I'm going to do a this class. And everything was related to food and groceries. Like, she has an empire related to grocery, cheap food, right?
Yep.
There were times before with Erin where, you know, her and I ran an event together with Andrea, which we stopped doing. And one of the reasons why we stopped doing it was because we weren't, you know, it was just... It was taking our focus away from other things. And I think she was good about... Erin's always been really good at cutting things out that don't directly relate to the grocery space and the meal planning space. And I think because of that, she's seen a lot of success. I think Kim's another one. You know, she went straight into the, you know, curriculum and creating products. And so everything she does on the blog side is related to product. She took off ads. She doesn't do sponsored content. Like, she got laser focused on her own products, and that's what she does. And it's, I think it's hard to do that a lot of times because you have these other opportunities that are still kind of hanging there for you, and they're going to make you money, but are they going to make you the most money in the long term? And usually the answer is no.
I guess that's assuming money is your primary metric, right?
Well, if it's your job, yes.
All right. Well, actually, I have so many questions for you now. What would you have doubled down on?
Well, the other thing I would have is I wouldn't have made Happy Housewife so diverse. I would have honed in on the topics too, because I think that was also like, because then I was like, okay, I got to write a post on homeschooling this week. Oh, I got to write a post on food this week. Oh, I got to write a post on organizing. And it's like, the thing is, like, I like all of those things, and I liked to talk about them, and they were all part of my life. But I always felt like I was being pulled in like 50 different directions with the website. Even to this day, it's like, well, you know, I only have two kids left that aren't adults. So it's like, I'm not really writing about homeschooling anymore. You know, so
was one topic more successful than the others for you?
You know, they were all pretty successful in their own right. I mean, and then frugal, like I wrote a lot about frugality.
That went out the window. Sorry.
Well, okay then. I'm still, as I record this on a 182-year-old laptop computer, whatever. So I always felt like a little bit pulled, but my problem is, I think, and this is, I love Shailene Johnson. I think she's just so good at what she does, but she talks a lot about having ADD.
Yep.
And I think I have a lot of business ADD, because it's not like any of the other things that I didn't love. Like, you know, Aaron and Andrew and I ran an event for 10 years. I loved that event. I loved running it. I loved everything about it. You know, you and I have an event. I love doing events. Like, it would be hard for me to like walk, unless it was like we were losing money. Obviously, if we're losing money on something, it would be easy to walk away. But like, I love doing the events. I think they're fun. Most of the time, it doesn't feel like work. Every once in a while, you know, there's like snags and hiccups. But the part of me is like, I love all the things that I do. So it's hard for me to say, well, I don't want to do this anymore, because most of it just makes me happy.
Interesting. I mean, I like the event. I like going to the event. I like
keynoting at my own event.
I like the idea of the event. I like talking to everyone at the event. What I don't like about the event is the uncertain nature, where you're putting like this bet down, and then you got to get speakers,
yes,
sponsors, and people to all come. That's the part I don't like.
Right. And I agree with you. There's parts of it that I don't love. But for overall, like, I just love, like, I could see myself saying, okay, I'd like to be an event planner. Like, I could see that as like a full-time job. Not that I want to have a full-time job doing one thing, but like, I could be happy in that position if that's all I did.
I could be happy as an event attendee. I think.
What do you do for a living? I go to events. What else do you do? No, that's it. I just go.
So for me, I've been thinking like, hey, why don't I just go all in on YouTube and do like 3 videos a week?
Yeah.
Or something. It would probably kill me, but I mean, I could do it.
It
if I drop my other stuff.
You just told me it takes you 20 minutes to make a YouTube video.
Oh, well, I would need to get another editor too. Like, yeah. There's complications there too. But yeah, I could, in fact. I got a script. So, sorry. Let me elaborate on that 20-minute video. That's assuming I have like an idea of what I want, you know, kind of. I know what I want to say already kind of semi-scripted out.
Yeah.
It takes me 20 minutes to just record it.
Yeah.
The recording part is easy. The coming up with the content part is kind of like TikTok, except times 10, right?
Yeah.
To come up with the content.
So, okay, that's a good example, though. Like, let's think about our friend Jamariel, who literally like 5 years ago went all in on video, right?
And she goes live every day, right?
She does not go live every day, but she publishes a video, I think, almost every day.
Every day, yeah.
But she went all in on YouTube, and then, of course, turned that into like Reels and TikTok once those became popular. But she's exploded, and she literally makes 6 figures basically from YouTube and selling her. And then obviously created products that she drives people to from YouTube. But like, her whole business revolves around those videos now, right? And she went all in on it, and look where she is today.
I think I have this mental block where... And this is the main problem I have with social, where it feels like it's a treadmill.
Yeah.
Right. So for me, like, I've always just thought, and you mentioned like automation and stuff, like I generally like to do things once and it have like residual effects that last a long time. This is why I like Google products so much.
Yeah.
So you can write a blog post that gets traffic. You can put out a YouTube video. Like, I have my YouTube videos. Some of them are generating like thousands of views per day, and I recorded it like 2 or 3 years ago, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have YouTube videos from like 2009, 2010 that still get traffic today, and they're terrible. But that's another thing where I'm like, I wish I would have gone all in on video back in 2000. Can you imagine where I would have been if I was doing YouTube from 2009 on? Because no one was doing YouTube back then.
That's true. Yeah.
And, but I, this is where, this was on me, is that like, I got negative comments about things. I had people, you know, sometimes people said stuff about my kids, and I allowed that to like get in my head. And then I was like, I don't want to put myself out there like that. Like, and if it involves me having to put out this perfect image of me to make a video, then I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to have time. Because back then I had, you know, 7 kids under, you know, all 15 and under. So it was not like I could go spend 5 hours in makeup getting ready to make a video. Whereas Jamareel, like, she'll do a video in her pajamas and she doesn't care.
I mean, that was part of the appeal.
Right. And I know, like, everyone cares deep down, but she doesn't let it stop her from creating the content. She doesn't let the one negative comment. Or same with Tiffany Ivanovsky. Like, I'll go on her lives and people are not nice. Like, one lady was like, you need to pull your hair back. You need to pull back your hair. You're gross. How can you be cooking with your hair down? This lady's like attacking her the whole video about her hair not being in a ponytail. And Tiffany just like laughs it off, right? But I allowed that stuff to get to me back then. And I think it caused me to just basically stop making the videos.
Hmm. I've started and stopped Instagram so many times because...
Yes, you have.
I just can't, like... Something might hit and then it just lasts for 2 days and then I got to start all over again. It's almost like you have to have a steady commitment and flow for as long as you do things.
Yeah. And you have to be committed no matter what happens.
So I mean, it's almost like a job.
It is like a job. It is. No, I agree.
And there's no like long-term residual benefits from a post.
Well, I don't know. You look at people that are like, you know, making millions of dollars off Instagram. That there is a long-term residual.
Sure, sure. I mean, but they're posting like multiple times a day, right?
But I think what happens though is that we're kind of short-sighted in this because you and I are both like, oh crap, we gotta like post 3 times a day on Instagram, make 2 reels, go live, do all this stuff. Well, yes, you do have to do all that in the beginning, but like once you build up this audience and following, if it's big enough, you can move them anywhere. Right. You can get them on your list and then you can kind of go back to the.
I disagree, actually. It's very hard to move an audience.
I don't think if you're selling a course, like if your goal is to sell a course on Instagram, then I think you get those people in the course. Like this girl on TikTok that's selling this Excel stuff. Like once those people are, if she's making $100,000 a day in a course, like.
I don't know the full story behind that. I think she does webinars and lives on that platform.
Yeah, but then you just pull them over. Like once they sign up, once they're on your course, they're in your course.
Sure. Maybe we can revisit that topic once I've interviewed her. I am curious how she does that because in general it is hard. So for example, when we launched 5-Minute Pitch, which mm-hmm. was many years ago, we had a combined almost 1 million people on an email list.
Mm-hmm.
And when we launched that show, we were like, okay, all these people are going to watch, but not... Like a lot of those people on our email list, they just don't watch YouTube videos.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. But I think, like, let's look at Jamareel, who makes videos about large family life, I guess. She sells all these printable packs on her website. And they're not cheap. Like, they're $100 PDFs, right? So it's pricey. But she's driving enough people to that from which her content creation that then they become her customers. And she's got multiple products, right? So she can continue to market to those people once she gets... Same with Laurie, right? From Passionate Penny Pincher. She does Facebook Lives and Instagram Lives. She drives people from those lives to her site for her planners, her meal plans, other things. And then they become a customer. Then she can continue to sell to them in a variety of different ways. So that's where I think you move them over. Not like you get people from your email list to watch your YouTube videos.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can see like if you keep this up for several years,
mm-hmm.
you'll build an audience, but you still have to maintain it, right? Like, if you just stop posting, you'll lose that audience over time.
Yes, but I don't think you have to maintain it at the level that you started at. I think there's something to be said about in the beginning, putting out 3 videos a week on YouTube, right? Doing those things. Then getting to the point where like, okay, I'm going to cut back to 1 video a week and people don't care. They just want to see you because you've built up a loyal following.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just something that I just need to tell myself, because right now, if I stop writing, I'm pretty sure my SEO traffic would stay there for a very long time.
Yeah.
And then same with YouTube, actually. I could probably stop publishing videos and it'd still be okay.
Yeah.
For quite a long time. Okay, so back to going deep. How do you trim? Maybe I'm asking the wrong person that.
You're like, you need to get someone else on the podcast to ask that. Well, here's the thing. I think if people are struggling with this, I don't think you can really ever make a mistake in going deep. I think if you go all in to something and you're not terrible at it, that's the caveat, that you're probably going to have some level of success. I think you can make a mistake by going wide. I think your margin for error is higher because you're not going to do everything well.
I think that you can make a mistake going deep easily, right?
How?
Like, let's say I went all in on microprocessor blogging.
Okay.
Right? Very niche. Yes. And I became like the foremost expert in there.
And all 200 people followed every word that you said.
Yeah, I think that would have been a mistake.
Yes, that would have been a mistake.
Or there's actually a student in my class right now. He's thinking about going all in on content about this game that he loves.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already got like a couple thousand subscribers on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the problem there is that game is probably going to not become popular in a couple years. You know, things like that, they pass quickly, right? It might be a hot game now. So maybe that's a mistake.
Okay, but see, that's where I think, now we're going to just get into the weeds. So because I see gamers, because my boys are gamers. So I see gamers do this all the time. Like you go all in a game, right? And you like make your Twitch account or whatever it is, and you do all the stuff around the game. Well, then when the game loses popularity or something, another game comes out, you just switch to the new game. A lot of times your people will follow you to the new game. Like you can move people from game to game.
You can, but not everyone's going to like that next game. And then you have this fragmented audience, right, of dead subscribers.
Yes, but it's at least they're in the same gaming niche. It's not like you went from gaming to crocheting.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like So for example, like, you know, Erin started out at $5 dinners, right? Like that's her website. She made dinners. She broke out the pricing for every meal. It was always under $5. We're like, that was in 2009. Like dinners do not cost $5. I don't care what you say, dinners are not $5 unless you're eating like a can of refried beans, right? Mm-hmm. So she's branched out into other things that are still inexpensive meals, but it's not necessarily like everything's under $5, right? So she went all in on that, but she built an audience of frugal food people. So as long as she stays frugal and doesn't start like teaching people how to make beef Wellington, she's going to be fine.
You know what's funny about this conversation is that for me, like my main reason for not going all in on one thing is because a lot of my friends are PhDs. And in my mind, PhDs is when you go all in on one topic.
Right.
And you know everything about that one topic. Almost everyone I know who has a PhD regrets getting that PhD.
Okay, but isn't that different?
It's different. It's different than business, I guess.
Why do they regret it, actually? I'm curious.
Because they spent all that time researching one topic that didn't go anywhere.
Okay, but see, here's where I think it's different in getting a PhD, and no shame to people who get PhDs. That's impressive. But like you're researching one topic. Like when you go, let's just say you go all in on YouTube, right? Well, think of all the skills that you create for yourself when you go on YouTube. You learn how to make video. You learn how to edit video. You learn how to make, you know, learn how to create good audio. You learn how to edit audio. You learn how to edit. You learn how to do SEO. You learn how to do marketing. You learn how to do all these different things within YouTube that can be transferred into something else.
Sure. I mean, that's the case for anything, though.
If you study the bumblebee of South Africa for your PhD, like how do you transfer that to something else?
Well, let me give you another example. There's someone I know who went all in on Clubhouse.
Clubhouse. Oh,
that
the
app. Remember that social app? And Clubhouse, I don't want to say it's dying, but it's probably going to get acquired, or I mean, the traffic levels are low. But they put all their time into it, and you know, now the platform is not as popular as it once was. And so they have to pivot away from it, right?
Sure, but that's different, don't you think? Because Clubhouse was unproven. Like, if you want to go all in right now on Instagram, go all in.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Go all in on something that's already established.
Yeah, don't go all in on like the new. Isn't Trump starting a new Twitter?
I think it's crashed. It's been crashing. Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's not where you should go all in, right? Like, but like Twitter has been around since 2007. Like, go all in on Twitter, right? I mean, it's not going anywhere.
You know what's funny about this conversation too is like Instagram. I feel like I don't see Facebook's future as rosy anymore. I mean, maybe Meta's going to take off, but like I feel like Instagram and Facebook, they're not getting more users. They've announced flat growth for the first time, whereas TikTok is growing now, right?
But here's the thing. If you've been all in on Facebook Live, you can easily do TikToks. Because a lot of people that grew on TikTok were already on Facebook doing the videos. You know what I mean? They just moved to the platform. So yes, I mean, you build an audience on Facebook and something like that, you don't want to lose it. And you might see it decline over time, but you have the skills to move on to another video. You're just changing platforms.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but you gain skills even if you go wide, right? Like I've gained a lot of video audio skills just from doing one video a week.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the problem with going wide, because I think I have tons of skills, right? Like I can do all a bunch of different things now that I didn't know how to do 20 years ago, mainly because the internet didn't exist. But I think the problem is that when you go wide, it's easy to get distracted.
Yes.
And that's where the problem is in going wide, is that it's like, okay, well, I'm going to do everything halfway. Like I'm going to make okay Instagram. I'm going to do an okay, you know, SEO. I'm going to do okay this, instead of like, you know, I know everything there is to do about making a video. All right. you can't become a true expert in like 20 different things. You can become good.
I'm like looking at, I'm thinking about my mom right now. She's spent like the last 40 plus years of her life on her research, and it's ended up amazingly for her. She discovered a cure for a disease.
Yeah, that's a big deal. That's way bigger than TikTok.
But on the flip side, I don't know. She doesn't have other skills.
What's the flip side? She cured a disease.
Okay, like, fine. Bad example.
What's the standard for you? I mean, on the flip side, all she did was cure a disease and change millions of people's lives. No big deal.
Okay, bad example. Okay.
40 years down the toilet because she can't drive a car very well. Like.
All right, let's talk about you.
Okay. You're like, stop talking about my famous mother.
Okay, so what would you have gone all in on? Looking back, you could start all over again back when you started 2000.
I would have gone all in on YouTube. I would have gone all in on video.
Interesting.
I would have.
Okay.
Because I was, because I started doing it and it worked. Like I would embed the videos in my posts. The videos got traction. I mean, they weren't like gangbusters, right? But this was back when not everybody was on YouTube. But like looking back on that, think about this. If I would have been doing YouTube since 2009, that would be insane.
All right. Well, let me ask you this question. Why aren't you starting a YouTube channel now?
Because I don't want to.
You're better on video.
I am. I'm way better on video. I'm much prettier than I
was. Arguably better looking.
No. Here we go. I think the reason why I wouldn't go for Happy Housewife, I wouldn't go in on all in on video, is because most of what I wrote on Happy Housewife was really relevant for like 15 years of my life, not so relevant today, right? All my kids are grown, basically. I'm not doing all these household things on a regular basis. I work full time. I worked on my blog full time when I got started, but now I work like full time, you know? When I started blogging, the work I did, every single thing was documented, right, for the blog. You know, I cleaned out the pantry, that was documented. Well, now my kids clean out the pantry, right? My kids clean out the fridge. Someone comes and cleans my car. Like, so it's just, I don't have the same life that I did when I started in 2006. So to go on YouTube and talk about stuff, it seems disingenuous. I can talk about stuff I used to do, right? But like,
why not talk about what you're doing now? There's lots of interesting stuff that you're doing now.
Come watch me record a podcast. Come watch me email Seller Summit attendees.
Oh, you mean like live video? Sorry, I was thinking like YouTube videos, not live ones, but
yeah. I just don't spend as much time doing all those things anymore. That I, like 15 years ago, I made breakfast, lunch, and dinner every single day. Right now, there's no one to make breakfast or lunch for, and dinner I maybe make like 3 times a week. And like, you know, it's always tacos, you know.
All right. Well, so, let me flip the question then. What do you think I should go all in on? Social? Am I going to start laughing here?
Yeah. I don't see you going all in on social because I don't think you really like it. And I do think to go all in on something, you have to like it. I don't think you can will yourself into like I don't think your mom could have dedicated 40 years to finding a cure for this disease if she wasn't passionate about this science.
That's true. Definitely.
You know, like you can't go all in on something if you don't have a decent component in you that says like, you don't like social at all.
I mean, I can't see myself like taking pictures of what I eat, of everything that I'm doing. Yeah. Which is what everyone does, it seems.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
And I'm not even interested in watching what other people do half the time.
Well, see, that's the thing, too. Like, I think in order to be the people that I know that are really good on social spend a lot of time watching what other people do on social. Not necessarily to copy, but just to understand the landscape. Just like I'm sure your mom, like, read tons of journals and other research and, you know, educated herself on all aspects of what she was doing.
Sure. I mean, I guess TikTok right now is the exception because I actually like TikTok because it has long-term effects. Like, I have actually videos on there that have lasted like 6 months now, still getting views.
Yeah, and it's funny because I notice on TikTok too, like I'll see a video in my feed that's very old.
Yeah, so that's why I'm attracted to TikTok. It's more Google-like than it is Facebook-like.
So for you, I have two thoughts of what you should go all in on. If I were you, I would either go all in on TikTok, because I do think it's a platform that you actually do spend time on outside of having to, right, for making your own videos. Or I would do more YouTube videos because YouTube works for you. And you're in a high, you're in a high margin, you know.
High CPM. Yeah.
Yeah, high CPM. So it's not like your videos make more money than, you know, someone who's talking about bicycle parts. So there's an upside there for you. And because I think it's SEO based and that's something that you like intuitively understand, it's not as much. I don't think you intuitively understand social because you're not a super social person with strangers.
That's correct. I'm not.
So, yeah. So I don't think for you, like, social is necessarily intuitive in some ways, but I think an algorithm is intuitive to you. So you can make, that's one of the reasons why I think it doesn't take you as long to make YouTube videos anymore, because once you understood the algorithm, you pumped them out.
Or I have a system, I should say. Yeah. Although people have TikTok systems too. I think because I just chatted with a TikTok guy. Actually, I should get him on the podcast, where we were talking about, he has this formula actually.
Yeah.
Not the content. Well, he even has a formula for the content, although it has to be written.
Yeah.
But he has like a, think of him like building blocks. Okay. Hook here, question here, answer, you know, whatever, you know, there's like a building block formula that you just kind of fill in the blanks for that works. And then he has a special way of editing, and he's running these TikToks for a lot of famous people now, and it's working.
Yeah.
And they're just all talking head videos.
Yeah.
So I guess there's a formula there, but the variable here is the delivery also, right? And how much energy you have. And I think those things they just have to be learned. Like, you have to learn how to relate to someone who doesn't know you at all somehow.
How's that going for you?
It's not, it's going okay. Let's just say it's a learning process for me.
But I think to your benefit, the topics that you're talking about, you're speaking to your own people.
It's like, I'm not going there doing stand-up comedy. Right.
Right. Like, so, you're not trying to reach an audience that you don't already relate to in some way or another. Because you're trying to reach other people that either are entrepreneurs or want to be entrepreneurs. And that's where you found yourself. So, and you also have an interesting background in that you didn't start out that way. You started out in traditional 9-to-5 and, you know, worked your way up in a company and loved working there. It wasn't like you hated your job or even anything like that. So you can relate to people sort of that are coming to your content.
You know what the other conflict I have, since we're revealing all in this episode here?
Yes.
Is that I would love to attract more, like, the upper crust of the e-commerce space. But in order to do so, there's like no search volume in those areas. So for example, if I write a super technical article, which is, this is the stuff I love to write about actually, a super technical article about how I implemented some feature on my site, guess who's going to read that?
Like five people.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
The general public is not interested in that level of detail. They just want like some inspirational stuff or like the basics.
Yeah.
So I've had this inner conflict where I'm writing a lot of that basic stuff now. Because that's what attracts the dollars and the eyeballs. But I want to attract like the my people.
Okay,
like the nerds.
Yeah, but let's think about this for a minute. So let's talk about our friend Andrew Udarian, who runs E-commerce Fuel, which is a forum for 6, 7, 8 figure sellers. So everybody in the forum, I would say, is advanced.
Yep.
In certain things, not in everything, right? And they're not good at all the things. But Andrew went all in on that. Like, he sold his e-commerce business. Like, that's, he went totally in on that community.
Yep.
And I mean, I don't know how much Andrew makes. I'm not going to like speculate, but I know he does well for himself because he's built this, and these community people are like insanely dedicated to the community, right? Not to Andrew. I mean, they love Andrew, but like, you know, when he opened up tickets for his event, they were sold out, and they're not cheap. They're like $1,500, $1,600. He sold out in like 3 hours.
Yep.
Which no event sells out in 3 hours today in this world, right? Like,
yes, absolutely.
But people are hardcore for e-commerce fuel, and it's because Andrew went all in and didn't do anything else. He just focused on the community.
Yeah. I'm trying to think some counterexamples. Like, I think I'm with you on going deep, but maybe not like just one thing. I'm thinking like a person can handle two things. Maybe three things.
I even though I wish I would have done that, I don't think my personality lends itself to being able to do that.
I disagree with you, because how long have you had your blog now?
Long time.
Exactly.
I can stick with something, but I need to have like my my side piece. That's your side.
Okay.
Like I get bored. And so I want to challenge myself, so I find something new to work on.
I see. Yeah.
So I can stick with things. I mean, I can stick with things forever and ever and ever, as we both know. I'm a sticker with her.
You're a sticker with her. You definitely are. And to some extent, I am too.
Yes. But I also need like something exciting to like keep me interested so that I can continue to do like some of the stuff that I don't find as exciting anymore.
That's fair.
But I don't think that's the best way to run a business. But I think if you can do that and still support yourself and be happy where you are, then that's fine.
I think there's a lot of shades of gray. Like, if you go deep into one thing and it's not the right thing, like there's so many startups who've made a bet on one thing and they fail.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, so I think there's a happy medium here.
What is it? People can email you and ask you.
Well, here's been my strategy. But I mean, right now the problem is once you get any level of success, all these other opportunities start opening to you, right? And you get shiny object syndrome. So I've tried to keep all of my stuff in the same family, like you mentioned earlier, right? I have an e-commerce store.
Yeah.
I talk about the e-commerce store. Anything I invest in the e-commerce store, that turns into content that benefits everything. So everything's kind of tied. Now, if I were to start like a DIY blog.
Or an ultimate Frisbee blog.
Or
Or
a tennis blog.
Yeah,
maybe not a chess blog. I just lost to a 13-year-old. But that would be truly a brand new project.
Yes.
I don't feel like I have truly brand new projects that are unrelated on my plate at all.
And I think we get this question a lot in the course from people. It's like, well, can I just start two websites? No, don't.
Yeah.
Like, start one and then down the road, start another. And I think one of the things that you do is actually, I haven't yet been able to implement this, but I actually think it's really good advice of how you operate, is that you only start one new thing a year.
Well, so do you, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
But I think for you, like, you only start one new thing a year. So like a couple years ago, you started working on YouTube, and that was like so you maintained these other things that you had running, but like you started YouTube and that was your new thing that you learned, you focused on, you spent extra time on, and you didn't, you know, when you were doing YouTube, TikTok came out, but you didn't be like, oh, I got to get on TikTok now. You completely avoided it until your YouTube had traction. And then you're like, okay, now I'm going to work on TikTok. Whereas a lot of people would be tempted, like, well, I'm already doing YouTube. Why don't I just hop on TikTok? right? You were like, no, I'm going to get this really down to a system and understand what I'm doing here before I look at anything else. And I think you kind of use the year as like your
measurement of stuff. Yeah.
Which I think is good because after a year, one, I think you can say like, okay, I have zero traction on TikTok or on YouTube. I'm not going to do it anymore. That wasn't what happened to you. But like you would have known after a year, like I put out 52 videos and I have 5 subscribers and 2,700 views. Like, okay, maybe YouTube's not your thing, right?
Actually, that's one of my problems. I don't think I would have ever come to that conclusion. I would have probably just kept on going.
Yes, you probably would have You would have kept on going in the trough of sorrow for 5 years.
I probably would. For at least 5 years, I would have gone through the trough of sorrow, yes.
But I do think after, if after a year of literally, like, that's your focus, you know, if you were doing YouTube videos for a year and you just had no traction at all, I would tell somebody, you know what? It might be time to, like, try something different because this doesn't seem to be working for you. Maybe it's your topic. And I would, like, make sure you did a long, hard evaluation of, like, is it my topic? Is it my delivery? Is it the fact that I don't have any lighting? Whatever. Like, you have to analyze it and say, well, maybe I can make a couple tweaks. Oh, I'm not using any, like, SEO. Like, there's all these different components to it, right? Just like, okay, I'm going to start TikTok. I do it for a year and it doesn't get any traction, but your content's all over the map. Well, maybe you need to hone in and just be really laser focused on your niche, right? So you have to evaluate that kind of stuff. But I think the year is actually a really good measurement of, you know, I'm going to do something for a year. I'm going to go all in. And then if it doesn't work, then I'll find something else. If it is working, then maybe I can add something else related to diversify.
I'm a huge believer in like reusing stuff, which is, I actually have problems. This is actually a problem. It's a blessing and a curse. Like I always think, okay, if I have this one piece of content, I need to be able to reuse it on these other things. Otherwise I'm not going to take it on. But sometimes that prevents me from taking on something new.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely agree with you. Like I have students in my profitable online store course. They go, hey, why don't I start 5 dropship stores since I don't have to do fulfillment and just see which one sticks?
Yeah.
And what ends up always happening is those 5, none of them stick, right? Because you're diluting all your efforts.
Right.
So how about this? Like if I want the listeners to leave from this, I would say, hey, go all in on one thing for a set period and give yourself at least a fighting chance before you diversify. But it's okay to diversify at some point, right?
Yes. But I would say the best way to have success is diversify in your own niche.
Right. Well, I hope you enjoy that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.